Greetings, everyone. Thank you for joining us. All right, here we are. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and it's Thursday, October 20th, 2022. We are gathering here on this beautiful day for our third Thursday World Peace Diet Circle for people who are enrolled in the World Peace Diet Circle or the World Peace Diet Mastery Program or Facilitator Training Program. So this is kind of a private opportunity that we have to talk about the issues that we're facing today, and I'm happy to respond to any of your questions or concerns or comments. We have usually about an hour and a half or so this goes. So it's 5 o'clock here Pacific time. We'll be finishing up by 6:30 at the latest, our time locally. And this is, like I say, this is a chance for us to focus on the vegan message, the World Peace Diet vegan message, the spiritual approach also, as well as practical, and how we can all not only thrive as vegans in a not yet vegan world and all the challenges that we're facing during this time, but also be more effective in our advocacy, hopefully, and deal with the challenges that we're facing, which are continuing, especially the last couple of years. So we have our first Thursday gathering, which is mainly for a more meditative kind of approach to things. And then this third Thursday is the one that's been going continuously since 2011. So here we are in our 11th year of doing this every third Thursday. And I think you're all aware. If you're not, please check out the resources for this month, the October resources. You can always get the resources at the same place. Maybe I'll put the link. I'll just do it right now in case for some reason people, maybe some of you maybe don't have it, but I'll just put it in here. Let's see. This is the link. I'm putting it in the chat so you can see it. And this is the link to the resources, and it's good all the time. Anytime, every single month, we use the same link. So it's kind of a secret link that nobody knows except for us. But it has not only the resources, which is all the different basically links to articles and recordings about not only about veganism, but interviews that I've done or Madeline or the two of us together, and as well as relevant articles and information for each month. And then we also post on the same page, as you probably all know by now, recordings of all of our monthly talks or bi-monthly talks. So that link is up there now. It's worldpeacemastery.com/circle/conference.html. So it's pretty straightforward. Okay, so that's pretty much it. How we usually do this, as you all know, is we have a meditation briefly in the beginning, and then we open it up for our regular program. And I didn't mention it in the email, but we'll be joined for some of the time here today by our friend and colleague and World Peace Diet facilitator Lisa Wong, who's based in San Jose, and we'll be talking about her vegan activism and some of the news from the last month. Of course, we just got back a few days ago from an eight-city lecture tour where we traveled and gave presentations of World Peace Diet teachings and Madeline's art, some music in Sacramento, Grass Valley, Redding, Ashland, Medford, Roseburg, and Bend, and then back to Mount Shasta. So that was the loop we did and came back home. And it was fantastic, actually. We had a really good response overall, I would say, even though it's not like it was pre-COVID days. Things are still a little People are, I'm not sure what it is, but but it's still going, still happening. We do the best we can anyway. All right, so welcome everyone. It's great to see your beautiful faces, those of you who are showing your beautiful faces, and those of you who are showing your beautiful names also, and I can see that. Nama Rupa in Sanskrit, name and form, that's the great illusion. We're not our name, we're not our form, so we're seeing footprints in the sand here, but the one who makes the footprints we cannot see, but we know you're around here somewhere in the universe, or maybe the entire universe. All right, so thanks everyone for bearing with us, and we're just letting people in. I'm going to go ahead now and just start up the meditation time, so feel free if you'd like to turn off your camera or leave it on, however you'd like to do it. I'll leave mine on, and we will go ahead and just have a shorter meditation on the third Thursday than otherwise, but it's a chance for us to remember the foundation of everything. So here we go. Thanks very much. And I'm sitting here at the piano. This is the second to last time. I think next month we'll be leaving right before Thanksgiving, so I think we can squeeze it in. And then we'll be on the road for until April. So that'll be interesting, living in our little tiny van. So here we go. Enjoy. This is our meditation time. Let's become aware of our breathing, allowing ourselves to relax and let go, abiding in our true home. Abiding in this present moment, this eternal now moment. Abiding in the unity that is the foundation of all being, that we are all sharing the same source, so we give thanks for this precious human birth, for this opportunity that we have to awaken to the deeper truths, for the opportunity to contribute to the healing of our world, and to contribute our unique gifts . We give thanks for all the animals who share this beautiful planet with us. We hold them now in a special remembrance, the incalculable, beautiful celebration of life that they are part of. We send them our love and our apologies on behalf of the whole human race for our exploitation and abuse of them for our own uses. May all the animals be free from human interference. May all humans, may we all let go of the programming that clouds our minds and hearts. So that we are always agents of kindness and caring, so that our lives embody ahimsa, loving kindness and compassion, joy in the joy of others, equality and harmony in all of our relations. May all living beings be free and at peace. May all living beings be happy. And just allowing now our consciousness to relax further. Entering more deeply into our true home of loving kindness, aware of the benevolence that shines in our heart, with every exhalation just radiating a feeling of loving kindness in all directions. We join together, breathing together and radiating loving kindness for all beings equally. We send love to all beings, even those who may be difficult or challenging. We have no favorites. May all beings have all of the causes of happiness and peace and joy. Abiding in our true home of love. With every inhalation, we engender now the feeling of compassion. We allow our heart to abide in its true home of compassion, of empathy, breathing together and radiating compassion in all directions, in ever-expanding spheres of light, compassion is the yearning not only that others be free from suffering, but also the yearning to act, to help relieve the suffering of others. So we allow our heart to abide in the true abode of the greatest love, which is compassion. For all beings. With every inhalation now we enter into the true home of joy, the living joy that is always bubbling at the core of our being, the joy of being that gets even stronger when we see the joy of others, the joy of creation, the joy of the beauty all around us in nature. With every exhalation, we radiate joy into the infinite web of relations. Abiding in our original home. Abiding in the joy that needs no reasons in the outer world. Breathing and radiating the truth of the inherent joy of being. And finally, we enter the home of peace and harmony. And with every exhalation, we radiate peace in all directions simultaneously, filling the whole world with the awareness of peace. Equanimity, understanding that whatever is born will die, whatever has a beginning will have an ending, understanding that what we are was never born. The source of all life. So we abide now in the peace, knowing that we are always connected to the infinite web of life and the source of all life. We give thanks for all of our relations, all beings, abiding in our true home of gratitude. Love, compassion, joy, peace, giving thanks for each other, for all of our loved ones, for the whole movement of liberation on this earth, giving thanks, knowing that there is ultimately but one life and one power, loving kindness, truth, and freedom. Every day be an opportunity for us to awaken ever more fully to our inner wisdom and to serve in our unique way the cause that we believe in. We give thanks knowing that humanity is awakening. And give thanks for our opportunity to help be a part of that. And so it is. All right, so bless you all, and I appreciate your joining together with us for the meditation time. So we can kind of continue on here, and we have all kinds of news. Every month there's more news, and I think some of the news is good. I think there is a manifestation of people awakening and working together to liberate themselves, liberate animals, and to find ways to be more empowered and decentralized in our food, information, and energy, and so forth. And of course, there are the other news of the forces that are centralizing power and dominating and exploiting animals and humans, doing the best they can to continue that. So we see quite a tension between these forces at the moment, and I think it's really critical that we have clear minds, that we have critical thinking and discrimination and awareness, and keep our hearts open spiritually to our intuition, and keep both of our feet planted in the biggest picture possible, so that we don't succumb to the fear programming that is being blasted all the time for various things, and that we do our best to anchor that and keep the movement for animal liberation moving forward, even though there seems to be a huge push against it right now, more than ever, it seems to me. But I'm happy to also entertain any comments or questions any of you have about any of this, and that's really the purpose of this call. So if there isn't anything pressing from anyone right at the moment, I thought I'd go ahead and just introduce our friend and colleague, like I mentioned earlier, Lisa Wong, who's in, as I said, is based in the San Jose area, but like we did for 17 years, when you say you're based somewhere, if you're living in an RV, that can change like the next day, because you can just drive away and now you're based in LA or Florida or whatever, because all you have to do is drive away and you have your home with you. Well, kind of like a turtle, you know. My name is Tuttle, and I have this kind of connection with turtle because of my name, Tuttle, and so I've carried around. I lived a lot with my home on my back. I think Madeline and I, even before I met Madeline, I lived for quite a few years in an old Volkswagen bus traveling around, and we still love to do that, you know, travel in our little van. So we have our home wherever we go, and that's kind of what monks do traditionally. You know, monks would just go off, and in China they're called clouds and water. The monks and nuns are clouds and water. That means they're just free to come and go. They don't get themselves entangled in relationships or money or power or any of that, and just focus their attention on spiritual awakening. And so I think it's a beautiful ideal, because we tend, you know, even if we're not monks and nuns, but there's a strong tendency for us to get overly, addicted in many ways to all of our possessions and our way of life. And so breaking all that up and trying something new can be an interesting experience. Anyway, so Lisa has decided to do that and has moved into an RV, I guess a few months ago, and she has a ministry called, it's the Center for Healing by Design, and it's focused on helping people to connect with their inner doctor. We all have an inner doctor. The heck with these outer doctors. We need inner doctors. And, of course, it's focused on promoting veganism and plant-based living. And so she had the idea of going with us on the little tour we just did up to Oregon, Northern California and Oregon, and was with us for the first few days until she had to go help somebody who was going through a healing crisis. And it was very nice to have her with us. And so there's a good chance she'll be coming with us. That's the plan anyway, on the tour that we do all the way to Florida with her RV. So this is a new development. We have never had people going along with us like this before, but what the heck, you know, we'll see how it goes. And she's a really very positive and knowledgeable person. So, Lisa, I think, are you unmuted or can you unmute
yes,
yourself?
Yes, I am unmuted. Can you hear me?
Okay, good. Yes, yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I'd love to show everyone my RV.
There it is, right.
There it is, my new home. Pulling my little transportation vehicle along with it as well. But it's thanks to Dr. Tuttle and Madeline who inspired me last year. What you guys did travel across the country and did this. And I was so inspired and I decided to follow the same way of living the turtle life.
The turtle life. The turtle life, right?
The turtle life, right? But you guys are even more impressive. Your van is a little even smaller than mine, and I have a hard time downsizing my life. And seeing you two are just such an inspiration for me and see what is possible, what I can do even more. But it's a good start, and I'm just so grateful that the last 4 months I've spent in making this life change happen for me, and now the timing is not even better because it's perfect in synchronizing with the time of your tours, and so you letting me following you along your tour is just the biggest gift for me, and how you giving me this great opportunity to really venture out. It was you, Dr. Tuttle, who waken me that I don't have to wait forever to get ready to do something what you do, and I just follow you. So thank you for just being the light and really inspiration that we can do whatever we put our mind to and make it happen.
Right. Well, that's beautiful. Thanks. Lisa, for answering the call of your own inner wisdom there and doing that. We have quite a bit of experience in that kind of lifestyle, and it has a lot of advantages. You know, you can, especially for sharing the vegan message, and so it's not for everyone, but we are grateful for the opportunity to do kind of a grassroots kind of ministry of vegan, sharing the vegan message through music, art, lectures, and so forth. Why don't you say a little bit about you've talked a little bit about your transition. If you want to say more about that, and also about what you think would be interesting for people to be aware of what you offer, because I think it's interesting just to see the different possibilities that we all have.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. I'm really grateful for this group. Without the support of this circle, I would not be able to make the life transition big changes I did in the past 2 years. So thank you for this opportunity to also share a little bit about what my organization is about. My life purpose is what my organization is. If I may share screen, I can share a little some slides.
Okay.
Let's see here. So.
And you're doing this all from your little van, I guess, right?
That's right.
Right now, you're in there, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much I'm living this life all from my van. And, right. Yeah, it's been great so far. So just to share with everybody, so my organization is a 501c3 nonprofit called Center for Healing by Design. And we are aimed to empower vegans, vegetarians, and compassionate people worldwide with evolutionary self-care education, experience, and tools to help them get in touch with their inner doctor and live healthy and compassionate lives in harmony with Mother Earth and all living beings. And so in just the last 2 years, seeing what went on in the world and also in my own life, I decided to bring forward this initiative called the Global Vegan Health Freedom Initiative, where I, in my RV, doing this to, first share the message. The aim is promoting self-care is the next evolution in healthcare. Being a vegan acupuncturist and optimum health coach, that is, what I want to bring to, as possibility for people, that is, love, compassion, and freedom for all beings, and especially in health, freedom, empowering, vegan, vegetarians, and compassionate people worldwide to rediscover and redesign our health and the life we love. And I definitely start with myself. The goal with my initiative is to practice vegan health freedom by being the change, living off-grid, like in my home, my RV, close to nature, being abundant in mind, body, spirit, and financial resources, embracing love, compassion, and freedom for all. Following Dr. Teto is a great, you are a great exemplar for that vision. And for me, I am the advocate of the inner doctor and the health, vegan health message. I want to bring that to the U.S. and especially in vegan friendly cities. So, following your tour, we'll definitely go through some vegan friendly cities.
Right.
That's the hope. And I am here to empower those who are unvaccinated and the vaccinated who are awakened to reclaim their optimum health. And what is your inner doctor? I tell people, Dr. Albert Schweitzer is a Nobel Prize winning physician, philosopher, and musician. Just like you, Dr. Teto, he's a Renaissance man. And his quote really is my motto that reminds me that every patient carries their own doctor inside them, and they don't know it. But when we are reminding ourselves that we are at our best when we give that doctor inside us to a chance to go to work. And so that is my leading motto and guide for my work. And so I use the what's more appropriate analogy as the body compared to a vehicle. And we are the ultimate intelligent vehicle that we live through life with. It just so happens this vehicle is intelligent and self-repairing. And so my teaching of people is using this vehicle as analogy. I teach people first, the most important at the center of this diagram is the emotion, is the love, is the unconditional love, the attitude towards that our own body and other beings, human or animals, that loving being for all. And in addition to that is our what I call control panels, these special parts of our body that are mini maps of the body, because everything is connected to everything. And so as this intelligent car, these control panels have access and give us information of what our inner doctor wants us to know, and also communicate with us so that we can be the best partner to our inner doctor. And just like the car, we, besides knowing how to drive it, we need to also know what the fuel, optimum fuel our inner doctor needs. And that's where, you know, what, whole food, plant-based, organic lifestyle, as the world peace diet, and, what Dr. Teto, you know, share all through is food is, the medicine. And for me to add, I give the scientific perspective of why the vegan diet is the best. And, I'll touch upon it a little bit, because I realize not all vegans make that connection, because it's not taught in school. And so, in a minute, I will, give that, part. Then the third part on the bottom is, how our body needs to move. Because we are energy. And so there are lots of ways we supercharge our energy of the body, and which Dr. Teto and Madeline are experts, because they every morning they do their morning routine, which I am so privileged to get to witness and learn from. So thank you, Dr. Teto, for that.
You're welcome.
And so you know, as part of Chinese medicine, we teach this energy, you know, our body, but the cryptic Chinese medicine languages don't really connect with many people. But so coming from the high-tech background, because before acupuncture school, I designed cell phones and designed user interfaces. So now I combine both my previous career with my current work. So I teach people where the control panels and healing buttons in their bodies. And there are all these are there's so many control panels by which I am expert in, and my specialty is the ears, and I can read people's ears and hear what your inner doctor really wants to tell you about what's dealing with and what could be possible. So the world of the body, you get to really see how unconditionally loving our inner doctor is. Most people don't know that because we're never taught in school about the miracles in our body. So this is education for 4-year-olds to 80-year-olds all across the board. And it's so easy. And my aim is to make it easy education and practical. The other concept that I bring to awareness of people is that the Western medicine definition of optimum health is far from the true, real truth optimum health according to our inner doctor. Because as you, this chart shows, our inner doctor aware of your, the entire condition of your body much more, intimate than what the, test, blood test or, Western medicine numbers can tell you. So, we actually can take our power back when we are in communication with our inner doctor to really know when we are truly living full vitality. Are you with me so far?
Yeah, that's good. Probably should not go too long, maybe a little bit longer, and we can show some of the main points.
Yeah. So I'm just a couple more. So the definition of optimum health, given this knowledge of our all the control panels and checking with our inner doctor, we could reach optimum health in physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual by checking our control panels where there's no pain whatsoever. So that's a concrete gauge that we know we are in optimum health. And that's what made trying to raise awareness and these concepts that actually these great people, Nikola Tesla, Thomas Edison, Einstein, everybody from actually trying to tell us that. And so this is a sort of example of the education that I teach in my course, a 10-week course, in addition to one-on-one coaching, optimum health coaching. So just go to the food as a fuel for our car, that analogy. We what kind of engine do we want, and really has an impact based on what we choose for our food, right? So now get to why hydrogen is the preferred fuel, and that's why the basis for why vegan diet is the most optimum diet is this. And this Dr. Albert Sangrani, I might probably already mispronounce his last name, but he won the Nobel Prize for discovering vitamin C, and he also studied hydrogen, and he said that hydrogen is the only fuel that the body really knows of. The food, that carbohydrate, you know, that we know so well, is actually a packet of hydrogen, where the combustion of hydrogen, burning of this food in the body, is what gives us the real energy. So you can see here, it's just another view from the energy perspective, why the plants and fruit, it's vegetables, and which is in the center, I got it covered there, is the real source of our food fuel, because it is it contains hydrogen, because that's what powers the sun. We get from the sun is hydrogen, and it's a packet of that hydrogen that we can eat. And the carbon and the oxygen is really the wrapping of this hydrogen to deliver the hydrogen to our body. So I call our vegan food is really a hydrogen sandwich between carbon and oxygen that we get to hold and touch and eat it into our body. And, but when inside our body, there are bacteria, there are good bacteria in our body called the hydrogen bacteria. They help us to unpack this hydrogen sandwich so that the body can actually use the hydrogen into our cells to run, to fuel, to give our cell energy. So you can see that we do that, and as well as the animal all do the same. So that's where our connection to the animals. And then why we eat animals from the perspective of the scientific biology, that the animals, if they eat the probiotics and, I mean, not the probiotics, the antibiotics and all that, that kills those good bacteria that unpack the hydrogen, then when we eat the animal meat, we also killed the good bacteria that help us unpack the hydrogen in our body. So we cannot truly take in the fuel that comes with the hydrogen. So this is kind of a little complicated involved, but are you getting me? Are you getting the gist of it?
Yes. Yeah, that's good. That's interesting. Thanks. So what's the, maybe, is there any other main points you want to make?
The main message I am to bring to mm-hmm. the general public, to make them see that why there's a fundamental reason why our body, our biology needs vegan plants. We need to eat plants.
Right.
So here's my office, my new office in my RV. And also when I get in the campground, this is my also makeshift office, and this is what I do. And I'm looking forward to setting up my tent, my makeshift tent at the vegan festivals when we get to Florida. And so I can share with people, all the compassionate people and kids. I love this, to get this message to kids. This education is very critical, I think, for the future generation to have. So I am so grateful again for Dr. Toto and Madeline. See, they are leading the way for me in their little van for the vegan evolution tour, which they just finished, and now we're going on to the phenomenon evolution tour next month, right? And here is if I will bring up this map that I create for Dr. Toto. You can actually go in there and see where all the places we're gonna be going to, and you know, along where you are, please join us to the tour. And let me put this link into the chat box so that you can see and
those numbers, I guess, are like the number of events that we'll be having.
Yes,
like we'll have three
actually,
events in Southern California,
so you can,
and three events
you can
in
zoom in
Arizona and so forth
to the
yeah.
map. So it will eventually get to these this World Peace Diet apples. That's where the event's happening. So it's a fun map. That I make. I have so much fun making it. Let's see, where's the chat box? Oh, here it is. So here's the link. I'm still gonna work on it some more to add all the details to make it complete.
We can share the link.
Yeah, I shared it
in the chat
box, and then. So that's the exciting part that's coming up. And here's a little, it's my goal to, help Dr. Tuttle along the way, to share the tour and give videos or, photos to document the tour. Just with, like we did, last week, part of it, since I wasn't able to follow the whole tour. But as you can see, this was the very first day of last week's tour, and we got animals and humans in the audience. You can, Jennifer on the call?
She'll see the recording.
Yeah.
I'll hear it.
Last but not least, I also have created, because I really support the cause of the World Peace Diet and everything that Dr. Tuttle and Madeline does, so I, my organization and myself is putting together a fundraiser to donate 100% of the proceeds to the cause. And so if you don't mind, if I can share this short video and, which will explain how this works, I would really appreciate it, because like this particular product, again, we're talking about fuel for the body, and this is fuel for your car. And so it's very appropriate that we use this as a fundraiser, I think. Let me know what you think. And so here it is. Let me know in the chat if you can hear the video, okay?
So, maybe we could do a link to the video, because it's just a couple of minutes, but I want to have some time for discussion too. So, Lisa, can you hear me? She doesn't hear me. All right. So I think, Lisa, I think you have your speaker off or something. But I think this is really good. You showed what you're doing. I'm wondering if people have any questions or comments for Lisa. And why don't we can put this...
Will, I thought she said to speak in the chat, that maybe she could see in the chat if you wanted to let her know.
All right, I'll try that.
Can you hear me?
Okay, let's see here. Okay. Let's do that. Yeah, let's do that in the chat. And let's do that link.
Can you guys hear me? Can you hear the video?
No, we don't see it.
Oh, maybe I didn't click on the share thing. So sorry.
It's all right. We can talk about that later. I think,
okay.
You know, it's, Lisa has, an idea of these, like you buy these pills that you put in your tank, kind of like digestive enzymes. It gives you better mileage. And, but I think, yeah, maybe you can put the link to the video in the chat, and I'll send
okay.
it out to everybody.
That's,
people can watch it. It's only like 1 or 2 minutes, but it's basically how these pills give you a bit better gas mileage, reduce your emissions, and reduce the engine wear and so forth. We're just starting to try them out to see if they work, but she likes the idea of using that for everyone if you want to get them.
Yep. So yeah, it's my idea, and I'm using it to raise fun for maybe anybody who believes in this cause and everything that you purchase or share with other people goes to this cause, the Bull Peace Diet. So I think like the first slide of the video said, the idea whose time has come, and there's nothing better. And I believe that the World Peace Diet, the vegan health movement, is idea whose time has come, and it's really much needed today. So thank you for your listening, and if anybody have any questions, feel free to contact me.
Great. Okay. Well, thanks, Lisa. It's a whole lot there, but you can get a sense of the of your inner doctor, which I think is a great idea. I didn't know that Albert Schweitzer had said something so timely. And if anybody else has a comment or question for Lisa, we can talk more about everything. If you have other questions, next month in November too. But I think this is long enough now to share the main ideas. But if you have any questions, raise your hand or just speak up.
Can I also introduce my friend?
Oh, sure.
Joy Grace, are you on?
Yes, I'm here.
You're on the call. Thank you, Joy Grace, for coming on, because Joy Grace is in Florida. She'll be flying over to L.A. to meet us, and we're going to be driving all the way back to Florida. Thank you for joining me, Joy Grace. And also, Joy Grace actually embody what I want to empower the vegetarians that are, or the non-vegans, because of my work, made a difference for Joy Grace. So Joy Grace, can you share really quickly what this work has done for you?
Sure. And I always considered myself vegan, but I was vegan with like a 2 or 3% backslide is what I think I kind of looked at it like. And that, but the backslide was where, when you did the work on my ears, and she used this little tool, and boy, did it hurt at a certain point. And I totally tried to play it off like it didn't hurt at all. I was like, no, it didn't hurt. And so she pushed a little harder, and I said, oh, okay. And I said, I give. And I said, so what is it? I said, obviously there was something wrong. And she said, I had ovarian cysts. And I said, well, what is that? And so she was explaining to me how ovarian cysts, when you don't take action and you let it go, can easily become ovarian cancer, right, Lisa?
Yes.
So I just decided long, long time ago how much I didn't like hospitals, and we don't need to share that story today, but just that they had such a great experience when I was very, very young to say I would do anything to stay out of the hospital. And so when she told me that, you know, cancer is a great way to go to the hospital and spend a lot of time there, and it costs a whole lot more money than the test that I paid her for. And really, I was looking to say how great I was in my diet and everything. And then what I found out was how I still wasn't as healthy as I thought I was. So it was good to know, and I look very forward to seeing you again in November, right before my 50th birthday, because this time, when you do my ears, this time, I'm expecting that I've changed. I got the hydrogen water. I've been doing everything. So I'm looking forward to a 100% clean bill of health when I get there this time. So I can tell you that it's worth knowing, because that little thing, that little tiny percent of something could have added to, you know, cancer. And this was in 2014. So by now I would have been dead, wouldn't I?
Well, I'm glad you joined me to take Dr. Tuttle's World Peace Diet Facilitated training. So there you go. That helps you too, right? To guide you become vegan. So thank you.
Absolutely. I took the book and I earmarked it, and I've got post-it notes and different colors and all kinds of good stuff. I'll bring it with me so they can show you how I kind of turned it into my, like, secondary Bible.
Here you go. You can get Dr. Toto to autograph it.
Wow.
Thank you, Joy Grace. Thank you for your time for this work.
That is so interesting. Well, thank you. Yes, thanks, Joy Grace, for sharing a little bit your story. And thanks, Lisa, for your presentation. That's really interesting. And here we are. So we have about another half an hour. What would everybody like to talk about? Do you want to have any questions for Lisa more, or we want to? You can certainly feel free to send her an email. I'll maybe you can put your email address in the chat, Lisa, also, so people can ask
I
you.
I did that.
Personally,
yes,
that would be good.
You
did, okay.
Already.
Great. So just feel free to unmute your phone if you want to say something, or raise your hand if you know how to do that, and I will unmute you. I'll be happy to unmute anyone. I think you press *6 on your phone to unmute yourself or raise your hand, and if you have difficulty, I'd be happy to unmute you. And it looks like Jeanette has her hand sort of raised, so I will go ahead and unmute you there, and yeah, you're unmuted, I think. Are you? Or go ahead and unmute on your screen.
I had actually unmuted myself, and then you muted.
Oh, sorry. Okay, good.
So that's, now no worries.
Now we're on. Yeah, go ahead.
I haven't looked at your resources yet, and thank you for putting the link in there.
Yes.
And I don't know if you have in there, but I just wanted to say I'm heartened by the Utah jury of VXE. I don't know if you guys know this, but two of their
organizers
were on trial for stealing piglets, and the jury acquitted them. So they are free, and they weren't even allowed to show all of their, like their, I think if had they been able to show the video of the inside of this facility, it would have been a slam dunk, but that was not allowed, and still the jury ruled in their favor. They were up for like 5 years in prison, and they got acquitted. So,
right. Yeah, thanks, Jeanette, for reminding us about that. I do have that in the resources. Wayne Shung, who's the founder of DXE, who's actually not a friend of ours, I'd say, but we've met him many times. He's a friend, I guess. I mean, I know him pretty well. At least I used to. I haven't been in touch with him since COVID started, but he's a really, very committed animal rights activist, and he and another fellow with DXE, rescued a few piglets, I think it was in Utah, from a Smithfield farm. They would have died. They were, and he saved their lives. And Smithfield pressed charges, and then the judge was very harsh beforehand, and wouldn't let. It was all kinds of obstacles that he was putting up in the way of them getting a good trial, and including the jury selection and a whole bunch of other stuff. And then this sort of minor miracle seemed to happen where the jury just said, you know, this is ridiculous to send these people for jail. They're just trying to help save these pigs' lives. And so that could have, you know, great ramifications. When Madeline and I were in Australia back in 2014, we met Patty Marks, who's the animal rights activist from Australia who invented open rescue as a mode of activism where you, instead of like going undercover, usually people go into these places undercover and they take video footage and they make videos and everybody's horrified. Her idea was just walk in the middle of the day, tell everybody you're going to do it, and go rescue an animal and make it be public about it. And when we met her, she was great. I mean, she bought some paintings from Madeline and really, but she was in and out of jail. She's always going to jail. She was just always getting thrown into jail, but she said, well, you know, the animals are in jail. I can go to jail too. So I really admire her spirit, and so it's nice to see that her idea is living, and it's actually, I think, a very good idea. It's a big risk, you know. They risked a lot to do that, and but it's really helped the morale, I think, of the animal rights movement to see that, and it's going to be harder now in the future because this precedent has been set, I think, that people can rescue animals, that animals are really, they're not just sacks of cement, they're beings. And so, good for them. And thanks for bringing that up. And you're right, that's definitely good news for the animals and for the movement. Yes, Andy, go ahead. If you can unmute.
Since you brought that up, one thing that I thought about, because we have DX here in San Diego, and let's see, Jeanette, I don't know, you must be someplace else, but I'm San Diego. And I did a couple of, two or three things with them where you parade into a store and you're doing everything out loud. And, it was amazing, absolutely fabulous. And I love being a part of that and just seeing what animal rights and the courage has come to, considering when I started so many years ago. And I look at that and they walk into stores and, holding the signs and let's say Jimbo's. So we did one at Jimbo's, which is a health food store that I no longer support. And so we'd be chanting like Jimbo sells animal abuse, Jimbo sells animal abuse. And we're walking through there and then we stop right in front of the cemetery of, the meat department, the fish department and that area. And then on the loudspeaker, they're just literally doing these chants and we're all doing the chants and they're so courageous. And so then I'm looking at, I become part of the freedom movement 2.5 years ago. And I'm like, okay, give me liberty or give me death. And everybody's hiding on Zoom things. Why aren't they showing up at the grocery stores? Everybody's doing videos after videos, 2.5 years. And I'm like, I don't know what happened to people who believed in freedom. The DFC was very courageous and, sadly, I don't know what portion it is, maybe half of the vegan movement who, I'm going to have to put my phone in. That's okay. I just had that. It reminded me my battery was low. So it's just making me think, I've been trying so hard to get freedom people to show up at grocery stores and do things. And they just want to do their Zoom things. Even some very well-known people, let's say like your Del Bigtree or, a lot of other people, I think it's Health for Humanity, I can't remember, but so many organizations, and they do things like out in parks, and I do things in parks by myself, but they don't hold any events in grocery stores, and I'm like, what happened to Courage or Freedom people? The vegan animal rights people are wonderfully courageous, and I guess I'd like to see the exact same thing within the freedom movement, show up where all the masked people are, or even in the hospitals where people are still masked. And I don't know. Has anybody else thought about that?
Yeah, well, I'm a big supporter of DXC, and I've been to the Animal Liberation Conference several times out in Berkeley, and I really respect their animal rights work, and I love their mentality. Just, it's not food, it's violence is one of their
right
slogans. And I think
exactly
that really, really sums it up. And I love their mission of, denormalizing this animal exploitation and the violence in our food system. Unfortunately, they do not seem to be aware of the reality around the COVID nonsense. It's very disappointing. I find it very disappointing, but that's been the case of a lot of vegan groups. That's why I value, this group so much and Pam Popper's group and Ken Hawk and Doug Lyle also, are on to the COVID nonsense. But unfortunately, DXD, I continue to support their animal rights work, but they're not clued into the freedom movement. It's disappointing. And then by the same token, a lot of the free sectors of the freedom movement, like Del Bigtree's camp, they're often somewhat anti-vegan, because they're anti-Bill Gates, who is affiliated with, Beyond Meat and, all the mock meat products. And so that kind of sector. And then they also are big on farmers' rights and ranchers' rights, which, I get where they're coming from on those issues, but it's difficult to navigate. It's difficult to navigate. I mean, I think at the core, just as Will talked about and does such a good job of breaking down and explaining, I think, obviously fundamentally they're the same movement, freedom. Like, it's all about freedom and empowerment and compassion and, you know, but there aren't many groups that get it. So yeah, DXD is another one of the, disappointments. And yeah, I see, Davi, I see your chat. Yeah, no, I agree. He's not pro-vegan. It's just funny because I often see it, it's framed in the sort of dichotomy between, oh, we have to choose between real meat and mock meat and fake meat, you know, and it's like, there's another option, you know, it's called food, you know, and, you know, so it's just funny how they try to, you know, make us not be aware of the third option. There's always a third option. Yeah, DXD, I'm disappointed because I admire their work in animal rights so much, and Wayne Shung, who's one of the founders, he's so great, but he seems clueless about the COVID stuff from what I see. It's disappointing, but at this point, not really surprising to me. So with them, I do support. They're one of the groups that I support financially for their animal rights work. They're not on top of the freedom stuff.
It was interesting because I was talking about the actual freedom people, that they don't have the courage that DXE has. At least what DXE believes in for the animal rights. Yeah. So the.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just. Yeah. But both sides. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that DXE. You know, because they take animal rights from being just a philosophical orientation to, you know, they raise the moral baseline. Like, if you see an animal that's being abused on the street, it's not just enough to say, oh, I'm against that. I will never participate in such a thing. No, you have a moral obligation to intervene. And so I love that DXD raises that moral baseline and says you have an obligation to intervene. And they're very courageous in that regard. I'm with you. Yeah. And where other animal rights vegan movements sometimes can be a little frustrating. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all coming from the same place. We're just trying. People just have different ideas as to what's going to work best. But sometimes I can get a little frustrated because sometimes these, you know, vegan groups, sometimes I feel like they can be a little too deferential, you know, a little too understanding of and forgiving of animal exploitation, and I appreciate DXE is just saying no, this is, and we're not going to normalize it, we're not going to pretend it's okay, we're not going to pretend this is normal, you know, we're going to disruption is what it's called for. So
those are good questions. I think thanks Sandy and thanks Chrissy. I think we've talked about this before, your idea, I think, Andy, is that people who are health freedom people should do what DXE does and just go into stores without their masks on. And back, of course, this is back when there was masking, and it did happen. There were people that did that. I mean, I remember in Palo Alto or somewhere in the Bay Area, a bunch of people went into a store without masks on, but it was absolute chaos. I mean, they got thrown out. It's a different thing, you know, because when DXD goes in and is trying to protect animals, the animals are a third party. When people go in about masks, it's about myself, my own freedom to be able to be myself. So it's a whole different dynamic. And then people get mad at them because they're breaking the rules. So it's understandable to me that people aren't going in on mass, but we'll see what happens. I mean, in the future, I have a feeling we don't know what the future is going to bring, but it seems that the tactic of launching these fraudulent pandemics worked pretty well, probably, for the globalists. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's another one coming. And I don't know if they're going to try to make everybody wear masks and lock everything down, but it could definitely happen. They already just today, I guess everybody saw that today, the people who approve, I guess it's with the FDA or the CDC, the ACIP is the group that does the children's vaccinations. They just gave full, complete approval to the COVID vaccines to children, even though the risk of children of getting COVID is basically zero. And the risk that they're going to be harmed is huge. And so this, to me, is a clear indication of an open war against the human, against the people by the government. I mean, it's no longer, to me, we now have to somehow get over the idea that the government has any kind of intention of benevolence. It does. I don't think it does. I think the government is basically a malevolent, it's been taken over, it's been captured by these forces that I think basically want to kill and sicken humanity, the citizens of the countries. And in the United States, we have some more, a little more freedom. I was just talking today, I had a long Zoom interview with a woman in Spain who's one of the leading vegan voices. She has a center that she started. She's a tenured faculty professor at the University of Barcelona. And she wanted to talk to me about the situation with the pharmaceutical industry using their propaganda to basically destroy the health of people and also to continue to promote experimentation on animals and using animals and killing them and torturing them for medications and testing them and how, because of COVID, even vegans are fine with it. She said vegans used to be against the experimentation, using animals in experiments and torturing them and killing them and monkeys and all these animals being now. And now vegans are saying, well, it's okay because COVID's really terrible, so it's okay to kill monkeys in experiments because we're terrified of COVID. All the vegans are terrified of COVID, so now we just gave up our veganism. Even the Vegan Society in London basically says, that, well, go ahead and get vaccinated. It doesn't matter if it's been tested on animals because it's more important that we all be healthy. When we all know that health does not come from a shot. Health comes from good nutrition and healthy relationships and exercise and sunshine and a positive attitude. It doesn't come from fear and toxic chemicals. That's not going to give you health. And vegans should be aware of that, but they're not. I mean, and I was appalled myself that DXC had a huge gathering here. There had been an annual gathering that was about a year ago, and you couldn't go unless you wore a mask. You know, so the whole thing to me was like completely ridiculous because they're imprisoning humans and saying they're trying to liberate animals. So we see this happening. I mean, right now they just passed that today, and that's a real huge unfortunate thing to have happen because children are vulnerable. They're like animals. I mean, children are just whatever we decide, that's what happens to them. And so you start injecting these little kids with these toxic chemicals, and it just causes chronic disease, which is a huge moneymaker when they get a little older. They'll have myocarditis and all these things, which will just bring in huge quantities of money. And it also dumbs down and weakens the population so nobody fights back, right? I mean, people who are sick and unhappy and so forth cannot have a hard time fighting back against the tyranny that they're rolling out. So personally, I really think we need to, now more than ever, we need to speak up. And that's what this professor was saying to me. She said, well, what should I do? Should I? I want to write a book about this, but I'm really afraid that I might lose my job. I'll lose all the respect all my colleagues have for me. My center that I've started will, if I start criticizing, she said, the religion of medicine, the religion of the pharmaceutical industry. It's like a religion, and I just said, you know what? I know what it's like. I lost everything too, and you know, I said life is short. You know, you can do what you want. You can speak the truth, or you can go along and have everybody like you and not speak the truth and see, you know, it's up to you. She said she was really happy that, she's gonna, I guess, go ahead and write her book and take the consequences, because I think in the long run, that's what matters, you know, and she's a practicing Buddhist, and I think anyone on a spiritual path, essentially, we understand that all these things, the fear of people criticizing us and the fear of rejection and the fear of not making as much money as we used to make and all these fears, that's a prison. If we let those fears rule us, then we're in a prison and we're not alive anymore. So I think now more than ever, the more people who speak up and speak out, it makes it more easier for everyone to speak up and speak out. If everybody's afraid to speak up, then nobody will speak up, and there we go. Like George Washington said very clearly, he said, if you lose freedom of speech, you'll be led like sheep to the slaughter. That's exactly what will happen. If we're afraid to speak up and oppose the tyranny that's being rolled out, and it is being rolled out. I mean, it's not stopping. So I think we need now more than ever to keep speaking out. And whether if vegans don't like it, then that's part of the situation. But the good thing is that the more of us that do speak up, there are people, I think, who are open to understanding this. And so I really encourage everyone to support each other in all of this. And each of us speak our truth and support people who are doing it. And like you're saying, a lot of times it's the people who are not vegan who are actually speaking up for health freedom and for bodily autonomy freedom and so forth. So we should be bringing the vegan message to them. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm writing a book now called Benevolent Revolution. I mentioned that before, and I'm hoping to get it finished soon. But the idea is to try to plant this idea in the minds of everyone, not just vegans, that we'll never have freedom for ourselves if we're going to insist on enslaving animals. That's the most important thing. So you people are so wonderful. You're in that tiny... That's what she was saying. This professor said, you know, there's just such a tiny niche of people who are vegans who actually understand this. It's like it's nobody. And she said, in Europe, it's so much worse than in the United States. Because in Europe, she said, there's nobody. There's no light. There's no light anywhere. There's no place. She said, I would love to, if there was a Florida, if only there was a Florida in Europe, I want to move to Florida. You have Governor DeSantis. He's actually publicly questioning all this. We don't have that in Europe. People on the right, totally in favor of vaccinations. People on the left, totally in favor of vaccinations. Left, right, doesn't matter. There's no freedom anywhere. There's nowhere to go. They're completely without a hope. Whereas in at least in the United States, there's the people on the right now are the ones for freedom, and so good. So let's all go to the right, you know? I mean, I'm not going to the right, but the basic idea is that the left has become the voice of tyranny, and we understand that, and the right has always been the voice of tyranny, but at least we can find some people somewhere who are willing to stand up, and even some politicians, which is kind of rare. So so they're looking to the United States. Europe is really looking to the United States to save them. That's us. That's people who are willing to go out and speak up and liberate animals and humans. So it was very interesting talking to her about the situation over there, and I think that's true with a lot of places. I think in Asia it's very similar. You know, not as much political freedom to actually speak up in a lot of these places. So we need to use that, actually, and not, because if we don't use it, we're going to lose it, really, I think. So thank you, everyone. I see all kinds of hands being raised here. okay, Jeanette, we only have 5 minutes because I promised Madeline we would end promptly because it's getting dark here so early now. So we have to end promptly, but go ahead.
I'll be quick. Europe and this movement. I don't know if any of you are aware, there's this English retired nursing professor, Campbell is his last name, he does broadcasts every day, and I don't watch him every day, but I watch him enough, and in the beginning he was pro-vaccination, pro-government, and he started reading things and having people on, and he's changing. Oh my God, it's so good. And the comments, you know, because some are still pro-vaccination, pro-medical, and some have always been on our side in the comments. The comments are interesting, but bringing up he's very, very careful because he doesn't want to get kicked off of YouTube, and he couches his things very carefully, but you could tell exactly where he is now, and he's brought up Florida a couple times, and he's said, these are official government recommendations, so I can read them and still be part of, you know, the YouTube, whatever. And he went through that Surgeon General they have in Florida now is just top notch in his policies, you know,
right.
They're recommending against the kids getting vaccinated, against the,
right.
the young adults. It's wonderful. He just read them all out saying, this is government policy in Florida.
Right. No, that's a huge win that the Florida Surgeon General has just basically said there's no vaccines for children because they're too dangerous for young people under 40.
So that message is getting out in Europe because of him.
Yeah.
So that's
right.
good.
Okay. Thanks. Lisa, we only have a couple minutes, like 1 minute, but
okay,
sorry.
Okay, really quick. I also want to mention that the latest is that they start vaccinated the cows and and other animals, and
right.
I think that is terrible for the animals, but then that is also maybe some things that can encourage the non-vegan freedom people to switch over to vegan because they don't want the vaccine coming from their meat.
Right. Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, I mean, all of these things, you know, there's so many different angles to this, and and these poor animals have been force medicated, you know, for decades. But there's also the idea, you're probably aware of it, of administering vaccines to human beings through food, perhaps through mosquitoes, for example. They can get, you know, get these mosquitoes that will have a vaccine, or through small, very tiny things that they release, or to just do it as a spray over a city that everybody will inhale. You know, I mean, whatever it is. I mean, the idea, I think, unfortunately, has been very profitable that if you spew enough poisons into the environment, it makes people sick, and that is where you make your money. You don't make any money on healthy people. You make money on sick people. So if you can make people sick through spreading more and more poison, it serves both goals. You make more money, and the people are weakened, so they can't resist. So we have to really have good air filters, good water filters, only buy organic, and spread and take responsibility for clean food, clean water, clean air, and tell other people to do the same thing. Don't trust the government to protect you. I mean, they've been taken over, and we have to really understand that. I mean, it's unfortunate, but it's how it is. And it's a new era where we can decentralize and grow our own food and work with local people. So I'm pretty much at the end. So Madeline, are you there? We're going to go ahead and, gosh, this has been so great. Thanks again, Lisa, for sharing about the Inner Doctor and about the work you're doing. And we do have another gathering coming up on the first Thursday of November. We will have our meditation, and then on the third Thursday, right before Thanksgiving, we'll be taking off, and you can look at Lisa's map, you'll see where we're going to be going. We'll be speaking at the big event in Los Angeles, the big Thanksgiving they're having with hundreds of people. We'll be speaking at that, and then in Temecula and San Diego, thanks to Andy for helping to set that up, and then going across and speaking in quite a few places in Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. And then going on to Florida, and we'll be there for a few months, speaking all over Florida, and then working our way back in March, mainly. We'll be back by early April, I think, more or less. So it's a 4-month tour. We'll be starting right after our call next month. Good to see you all. Good to see you, Judy, and all of you. Thank you so much for your all your efforts and your loving actions and wisdom. And we'll go ahead and say our prayer together, the Circle of Compassion prayer. Feel free to unmute your microphones if you can, and we can all join in this benevolent, we call it the benevolent cacophony of of the prayer. Here we go.
Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere.
Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. One more time with feeling. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you. Thank you especially thanks to Davi. She joined us all the way from England in the middle of the night. Always good to see you, Davi, and thanks
and
everyone. It's really an honor to be with you. And feel free to let me know if you have any questions or anything, and we'll see you in November. Much love.
Thank you, everyone.
Take care. Thank you.
Bye.
So much.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.